This is an excerpt from Dr. King's Ware Lecture to the General Assembly of the Unitarian Universalist Association, May 18, 1966, called Don't Sleep Through the Revolution. Modern psychology has a word that has become common. It is the word maladjusted. We read a great deal about it. It is a ringing cry of modern child psychology, and certainly we all want to live the well-adjusted and avoid neurotic personalities. But I must say to you this evening, my friends, there are some things in our nation and in our world to which I'm proud to be maladjusted. And I call upon you to be maladjusted and all people of goodwill to be maladjusted to these things until the good society is realized. I never intend to adjust myself to segregation and discrimination. I never intend to become adjusted to religious bigotry. I never intend to adjust myself to economic conditions that will take necessities from the many to give luxuries to the few and leave millions of people perishing on a lonely island of poverty in the midst of a vast ocean of prosperity. I must honestly say, however much criticism it brings, that I never intend to adjust myself to the madness of militarism and to the self-defeating effects of physical violence. In a day when Sputniks and Geminis are dashing through outer space and ballistic missiles are carving highways of death through the stratosphere, no nation can win a war. It is no longer a choice between nonviolence and violence. It is now a choice between nonviolence and non-existence. Our earthly habitat can be transformed into an inferno that even the mind of Dante could not imagine. Yes, I must confess that I firmly believe that our world is in dire need of a new organization, the International Association for the Advancement of Creative Maladjustment. People as maladjusted as the prophet Amos, who in the midst of the injustices of his day cried out the words that echo across the centuries, "Let justice roll down like waters and righteousness like a mighty stream." As maladjusted as Abraham Lincoln, who had the vision to see that this nation could not survive half slave and half free, as maladjusted as Thomas Jefferson, who in the midst of an age of amazingly adjusted to slavery, cried in words lifted to cosmic proportions, "We hold that these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." As maladjusted as Jesus of Nazareth, who could say to the people of his day, "He who lives by the sword will perish by the sword." Through such maladjustment, we will be able to emerge from the bleak and desolate midnight of man's inhumanity to man into the bright and glittering daybreak of freedom and justice.
Such powerful imagery, the stark contrast that we can imagine, a bleak and desolate midnight caused by our inhumanity. 1966, and here we are again, here we are perhaps still. And I am wondering, and I bet a lot of you are wondering, what on earth will bring about that bright daybreak of freedom and justice? King suggested the creation of an organization, the International Association for the Advancement of Creative Maladjustment, and when we were preparing the service, Robin noted that it sounded like a Ministry of Magic thing from Harry Potter. It may very well be. Creativity, for creativity's sake, certainly has its place. Edward Durell Stone was certainly creative when he imagined this great hall as an architect in the late 50s, built and founded in the 61, but this isn't the type of creativity we are talking about today. And you sometimes pride ourselves at being nonconformists, some might say maladjusted, and I'm not talking about that either. Just being unwilling to follow isn't actually that creative, and in many ways has led us to the blight of individualism that taints our faith. No, this morning, Dr. King's legacy invites us to notice where we've become adjusted to the unjust, to become creatively maladjusted to it. Because then, just as now, too many of us have become adjusted to economic inequality. Just one example of that is that the pay gap between men, pay for men and for women, has closed somewhat. There is still a gap. Women and gender nonconforming people are still paid less and often expected to do more than our male peers for the same job. We have become adjusted to racism. While many of us in this room likely would interrupt a racist joke, many of us haven't addressed the racist systems that exist in our government, our education, our housing. We have become adjusted to the militarism, so much so that most of us in this room have not protested the militarization of law enforcement through weaponry and armor. Particularly apparent at protests these days, which we've also now become adjusted to the new norm of. If we want to have a protest, it is expected that we will get a permit, arrange a route that is acceptable to the police, stay on the sidewalk, unless we've arranged ahead of time that we need the street, and even then, only on specific blocks will be allowed to we interrupt the status quo flow of traffic to be interrupted. The Constitution actually guarantees us the right to peaceably assemble, but we have let law enforcement define peace. Let that sink in. We have become adjusted to the vast chasm between Schenectady's high school graduation rate and Niskayuna's. The literacy rate, the amount of need for basics like food and clothes and care for families, the poverty rate. We have become adjusted to so many things. I don't think we've wanted to. I don't think any of us think those things are good. But our lack of change engagement means we've made some choices in our adjustments, right? All of us have made choices in our various kinds of adjustments. Now, part of this is partly because of our brains. Our brains want patterns and predictability and to make sense of things, and a lot of these things don't make any sense. We want ease and we want peace, and we are so often overscheduled and working our butts off day after day to make ends meet, to get the kids where they need to go, to run the errands and pay the bills and do the things, all the things. We might tell ourselves we don't have time, or we are afraid we won't make a difference. And so our brains categorize, and some might say triage, our lives. What we can do, we do. And to calm us, we categorize often unconsciously as, well, that's just how things are. What can I possibly do to make a difference? Now, I know several of you in this room are doing some things to make a difference. This is not to discount those in any way. When I say we, I mean we. As a society, as a community, as a congregation. Because there's so much we are triaging. So becoming creatively maladjusted to these things will take some work, because our brain's tendencies also know that things aren't supposed to be the way that they are in many cases. When King shared those words at the Ware Lecture in 1966, referenced in the reading, he had been sharing that same message in several different locations since 1956, at least, inviting his audiences and congregations to become maladjusted to what was acceptable. 400 years ago, people from West Africa were brought here as free labor. There were uprisings, certainly. There were folks who fled. There were incredible people like Harriet Tubman, who was so maladjusted to slavery that she not only escaped her enslavers, but once she got free, she went back to help others get free too, at great personal risk, and along with others expanded the Underground Railroad. This required a great deal of creativity to imagine, and an even larger amount of courage to enact it. Being maladjusted to something takes conscious effort sometimes. It means leaving the comfort of the status quo. And sometimes it just suddenly occurs to us, like a muse flitting in and planting an idea in our minds or hearts or both, and we can't not be aware of it. It becomes uncomfortable, and we become maladjusted to how things are. It is how many of us have gotten involved in activism, in our life's profession, in our vocations and avocations. The Emancipation Proclamation that went into effect on January 1st, 1863, would technically free those who were enslaved. But it didn't change the culture that supported notions of superiority. That would take more creative maladjustment. The Civil Rights Act passed in 1964, but we're still trying to desegregate schools and neighborhoods. And the Voting Rights Act of 1965 was and continues to be met with the legacy of Jim Crow laws, redlining, voter suppression. Apartheid in South Africa existed for hundreds of years, too, until black South Africans began to rise up in large numbers, and Nelson Mandela and others organized resistance. And musicians and artists reminded themselves, "Siyahambe kukenyenkwen kos," we are marching in the light of God. Creative maladjustment to the lie of superiority, the lie of inferiority. While some things have changed, culture has not fully shifted in South Africa either. India, under British rule and spiritual leaders like Mahatma Gandhi, helped teach nonviolence. As many of us know, a way of resisting that not only strengthens the heart of those resisting, but also commits to changing the hearts of those who are oppressing. To face a soldier, unarmed yourself, them with a weapon. After having just watched them knock the person in front of you to the ground, and you move into your place next, hoping your heart changes their heart. So maladjusted to oppression must you be to do such a courageous thing. So maladjusted must one be to run for office in the 1970s as an openly gay man like Harvey Milk. So maladjusted to inaccessibility as Ed Roberts was, who had multiple disabilities, who worked to open up college campuses and public transportation for folks with accessibility accommodation needs. Like Rosa Parks, who didn't give up her seat. Like the Standing Rock Sioux and neighboring Native peoples chanting, "Mini Wachoni, water is life." The Occupy movement. There have been and there are so many examples in which folks imagined better ways of life and then did something to be creatively maladjusted. As 2020 Visions of Justice is our theme for January, what have we become adjusted to? This congregation became maladjusted to your old bylaws and the ways of doing things, and you've made some changes, those of you who were here at that time. Yet some habits and behaviors from the old governance model linger. It will take more creativity to bring about the fullness of the changes many of you imagined when you made those decisions. And despite movement after movement to transform our society, what remnants of sexism, homophobia, racism, ableism, ageism, militarism are still present here and in the wider community? And what are we willing to do to face the challenge of change, especially when we might not feel able to have much impact?
My friend and teaching partner talks about willingness and ability of our economic choices. He points out that while he has the ability to go to the grocery store and purchase all of the cottage cheese, he does not have the willingness to do this because he absolutely hates cottage cheese. alternately. I have the willingness to spend 4 weeks on a tropical island and have Rob Lowe serve me drinks and coconuts, but I do not have the ability to do so. These concepts of willingness and ability pertain to our life choices as well, and I grapple with it. I definitely have the willingness to use my state of maladjustment to work for things that I believe are just. There are many injustices in the world, in our country, in my community, that I refuse to adjust to. High on my list are discrimination against the LGBTQ+ community, disenfranchisement at the polls, and ensuring that the separation of church and state remain exactly that, separated. And strictly speaking, I've been able to remain maladjusted to these injustices. They upset me. I have not normalized the behaviors that allow these injustices to continue. But is that really where my ability ends? Isn't there more I could do? Definitely. My misguided life mission to avoid confrontation interferes with my ability to go beyond my quiet maladjustment. I recognize that I need to push my comfort boundaries to make my maladjustment more apparent so that others who are uncomfortable enough to change the system. People keep telling me I won't care as much about confrontation as I get older, but I'm on the far side of my 40s and it hasn't happened yet. I need to take active steps to use the privileges I have based on my race, my education, and socioeconomic status to make my maladjustment more known with the end goal of righting those wrongs. Dr. King's words from the reading, though from 1966, rang current for me. How many people have used their willingness to rise up and ability to push back against miscarriages of justice in recent years, even though they are people often not listened to by those in power? The young, like Greta Thunberg, who began striking from school for climate justice, and the Parkland students who are actively seeking gun reform legislation, particularly Emma Gonzalez, who on a national stage not only spoke the names of the students who were killed at the high school, but then held silence for a long time. Gonzalez then concluded the speech by naming that the length of time for the speech and the silence was about the amount of time the shooter was actively engaged in violence in the school. Creative maladjustment. Women like Tarana Burke starting the Me Too movement back in 2006, and the devastating number of women who have gone public with their experiences of sexual assault because of her willingness to tell the truth. Members of the transgender and non-binary community, like Sarah McBride, the first openly transgender woman to work at the White House in 2012 and to speak at the Democratic National Convention in 2016, where she asked in her call to action through voting, "Will we be a nation where there's only one way to love, one way to look, and one way to live? Or will we be a nation where everyone has the right to live openly and equally?" She then went on to give her a full-throated endorsement of Hillary Clinton. We all know how that ended. Well, Ms. McBride creatively maladjusted, and she is currently running for the first district of Delaware for the Delaware State Senate.
In 2016, in Orlando, you may recall an armed man went into a gay club called Pulse and committed, at least at that time, the largest mass shooting in history. An organization trying to disguise itself as a church from Kansas, who show up and protest LGBT folks even at funerals, arrived there. In just a few short days, volunteers at the Orlando Shakespeare Theater made 11 sets of PVC pipe and fabric to create wearable angel wings to literally shield families, friends, and loved ones from the hateful messages of this all-white anti-LGBT group from Topeka, who shall not be named. Protecting them from these evil messages. These wings are creative maladjustment. And these angel wings have traveled around the country for this very reason, to block out hatred and fear, including to the 2016 General Assembly of the Unitarian Universalist Association, when that same group was coming to protest UUs in Columbus, Ohio. Creative maladjustment.
On a more personal level, I often have the opportunity to demonstrate my maladjustment because I, like many of you, am a teacher. This year, right at the beginning of the school year, I wanted to wear this shirt to school. It says, "Love is love is love is love," quoting Lin-Manuel Miranda's speech when he accepted his Tony Award for the best score for Hamilton in 2016, mere hours after the 50 people died in that shooting at the Pulse nightclub. It was and still is an incredibly moving speech in solidarity with the gay community. I am well aware, especially as a teacher who teaches students about politics and civil liberties, that teachers are not allowed to engage in political speech in school. We cannot advocate for a particular political candidate in the classroom. But that's not what this was. I refuse to adjust to the idea that a message of love and inclusiveness is political. It's human. And so I wore the shirt. And I can't tell you how many kids, ones I knew and ones I didn't, told me they liked my shirt that day. And it wasn't generally a chipper, "Hey, I like your shirt." It was said authentically, with understanding of what I was trying to emote to anyone who saw me that day. "I'm an ally. I offer a safe space in this school, just by facing my own fear and wearing a shirt."
Our friend and colleague, the Reverend Alice King, shared a story recently. In her church's county in Virginia, the KKK was distributing recruitment flyers in little plastic bags with candy. They would target different neighborhoods at night, and folks would wake up to them. One woman in one of those neighborhoods started gathering orange ribbon and cutting it into thin strips. And she started asking people to tie them to their mailboxes and around their doorknobs as a symbol that we were united in our love for all neighbors and that hate was not welcomed there. Then others got involved. They called it the Love Your Neighbor Orange Ribbon Campaign. Pretty soon, folks were wearing orange ribbons on their lapels, on their houses, on their vehicles and mailboxes. Hate has no place here in Leesville. Creative maladjustment. There are some ways that the UUA, the Unitarian Universalist Association, is inviting us to consider practicing some creative maladjustment as we enter election season. They've launched a new program called UU the Vote. They're creating space for creatively maladjusted, and for those of us to engage in creative maladjustments to happen. Registering voters, especially those often marginalized, providing space and support for organizations whose mission are compatible with Unitarian Universalism. You can read up about it on the UUA's homepage. UU the Vote is what it's called. Also, the Side with Love campaign has reimagined the 30 Days of Love in a new way. It is organized by week. We are in week one and includes resources, spiritual practices, and so forth to deepen our faith and strengthen our resolve. Becoming creatively maladjusted takes practice of imagination. We hope you will spend some time reflecting this week, in the coming weeks, on the open questions, which are on the inside of your Order of Service cover, to share your wonderings and your thoughts with the Strategy Advisory Committee. Those questions can help your board in leading and making decisions to creatively respond to the injustices in our community and to lead us to be maladjusted to the practices and patterns that no longer serve our congregation. Even if you have already answered them by attending one of the other events, you may have some new ideas, some new awareness, some new wonderings. As Gretchen Haley invited us in the call to worship, hear, hear, Stir up your steadfast hope, your resolute clarity of what remains possible. Be generous with your dreaming and brave. All paths to the future are born in this courage of imagination, this willingness to shed, to salvage, to start again, to be this blessing for each other, and to be blessed. May it be so. And let the people say, Amen.